You this morning in Jesus' precious name. May God's grace and peace be upon you as you follow Him and look forward to His return. This morning, let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Beginning in verse 6, we'll read 6 and 7 and 8. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God. This morning, the children's lesson that Joshua put a rock for the people to remember why that rock was put there. And Paul said, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. In other place, Peter says that he would stir up their memory. We are truly a forgetful people, and that's been from the beginning, it seems. God has always had to set up things to remind us. We have His Word. We have, today we've got His Word, and we have the messages and preaching. And what that is supposed to do is to stir up our minds to remember and to remind us of these things. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What I want to talk about this morning is, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Not so much about fear, but who is doing the fearing? Whenever we talk about fear, I guess my thought is what I'm trying to convey is some of the things that are going on in the world. Looks pretty fearful. Some of the new things that are passing and the new laws they're writing, and we can see that things are changing here in this country, and I believe they will, and I believe they're changing fast. Sometimes we get a little discouraged or a little disappointed in some of the things that are taking place, watching our society around us fall darker, deeper and deeper into darkness. They're happening right in front of our face. Things are changing. And it's a fearful thing to watch things change so quickly. It's just almost astounding to me how quickly things can turn. And the mindset of people can change just seemingly overnight. I know a few years ago there wouldn't have been a question. Talking a little last night, there wouldn't have been a question about homosexuality or where people were. To many people, you would I mean, there was no question about that it was wrong. And there was nothing wrong with saying it was wrong. And yet today, it's almost, we almost have to be cautious. Or people, there's a cautiousness. We don't have to be, but there's a cautiousness about who you might say that in front of because of fear. I'm reminded just to give a thought out about the early church. There's a statement that when the church was first born, the early church, they went out into the world and they were like a hot potato. The world didn't know what to do with the church. I mean, wherever they went, people felt uncomfortable. They didn't really know what to do with these people. In fact, if you look back through history, that is the very thing that got people in trouble. Because they made the others around them feel uncomfortable. They brought a fear to other people. The other people, the people that they were around, felt threatened because they had no fear. The saying goes that used to, in the early church, the world didn't know what to do with the church. It was like a hot potato. You put a hot potato in your hand and it's hot and it begins to burn, so you have to toss it back and forth to keep from burning your hand. It's got to keep moving. You go, here, I don't want it. You take it for a while. It's a hot potato. I don't want it stuck. I don't want to get stuck with it. It'll burn my hand. Here, you take it. So you toss it back and forth. You toss it around the room a little bit. Nobody really knows what to do with it. But today, it seems, it has been throughout history, it always turns back this way, that either the world doesn't know what to do with the church, but now the church doesn't know what to do with the world. The world comes into the church, and things begin to creep up, and I don't know what we're going to do about this. What are we going to do about it? I don't know. Here, you work with it a while. I don't want to mess with it. You take care of it. I don't want to take a position here. You take it. No, I don't want it. And so it gets tossed back and forth. And it's just exactly the opposite. What it is it's fear. Same kind of fear. It's just, who has it? Who's in control of it? Whenever we look, there's a threatening element there. That's the problem. Not that we go around threatening people, but when someone comes in that is full of the Spirit and has a boldness, people begin, their security, their comfort zone is threatened. And they, what are we going to do? What are we going to do with this? Well, I don't want it. Here, you take it a while. That's exactly what happens whenever someone doesn't have the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Nobody knows what to do with them. Whenever Jesus was in the earth, he walked through the world and nobody really knew what to do with him. The government felt threatened. The established church authorities felt threatened because they didn't know what to do with him. Here was someone who wasn't threatened by them. Someone that wasn't intimidated by them. And it scared him to death. He wasn't subject to their fear. We think of the verses that when Jesus talked about the truth shall set you free, and you will be free indeed. The truth will set you free. We've talked about this before, that I'm not afraid of people who are seeking the truth. If they hear a lie, that doesn't bother me at all. For you to pick up a Jehovah's Witness magazine and read it. If you want to read that, go ahead and read it. That sounds pretty, well, what are you saying? I'm not afraid of someone looking for the truth. I'm not afraid of their papers, their lies. If you're looking for the truth and walking in the light, you're not going to be deceived by foolishness like that, by darkness. It doesn't bother me for you to pick up a tape from the Baptist church and pick it up and listen to it. There might be something you could learn in there. There might be a blessing in it sometime. There's some errors there. But if you're walking in the light, I've got enough confidence that you can listen to someone besides me. But yet, in many of our churches today, in many churches, they'd be scared to death to let someone listen to someone else speaking. They would be scared to death to allow someone they didn't know to preach. In fact, in most churches, if you didn't go to their seminary, then you wouldn't be allowed to preach in their pulpit. Because you haven't been fully indoctrinated in what they believe, and they would be scared to death that you might say something other than what they believe. And they would be scared to death that their congregation would hear something altering or a different viewpoint of what they believe. That's the spirit of fear. And God hasn't given us that spirit of fear, but He's given us that spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. A sound mind can discern both good and evil. The power of God gives us the wisdom to know what's right and wrong. Sometimes it takes seeing. The Bible says in Hebrews that we've exercised ourselves to where we can discern between good and evil. Milk belongs to those that are weak. Milk's already chewed up, and you give it to babies, or it's already easily. I mean, you don't have to do anything with it but drink it. But you give someone a piece of meat, they have to chew it up. And the only way you can learn how to do that is to exercise that you might discern yourself, discern between good and evil. Sometimes we churches, and I'm not talking about children. I believe children should be sheltered until they're strong enough to stand on their own. I don't think we ought to bombard them with false stuff, but we should be teaching them to learn how to discern between right and wrong. Let them make some mistakes once in a while. Let them get their fingers burned once in a while, so that they know what's going on. Let them fall down. I believe God lets us do that once in a while too. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. When Jesus stood before Pilate And he began to testify. Pilate, the Jews brought him there, and they made all kinds of accusations against him and was ready to crucify him. Pilate said, "Aren't you going to answer anything?" Jesus didn't answer a thing to what he was talking about. How could he do that? Because he had no fear of what Pilate could do to him. He had overcame that fear. He didn't have to defend himself. He wasn't afraid of what his opinion was going to be about him. To the point where I believe it's Pilate who felt like he was probably on trial. He was the one threatened there in that situation. Why? Because he didn't fear what would happen to him. Jesus wasn't afraid of being right. He had the truth, and the truth had made him free. And that is what made Pilate feel uncomfortable. Whenever we read in Acts about John and Peter, they went out preaching, and the Pharisees caught them and brought them into up before the council and told them not to preach anymore in Jesus' name. Well, what'd they do? They went right back out and began preaching again. They brought them back in, and they straightly commanded them and said, "Didn't we tell you to quit preaching?" What was the problem there? They were threatened. Why were they threatened? Because they had no power over these men. They had no authority over them. The authority that God gives and that we yield whenever we obey the government or we obey someone, we do that because, not because we're afraid of them, but because the Lord commands us. Because we're doing what's right. Not because there's a fearfulness of doing what's wrong. We should never be in the place of doing, fearing because we're doing what's wrong. That's the wrong kind of fear. Whenever these men were brought in Acts chapter 4 to the council, The question was, shall we obey God or shall we obey man? You judge between yourselves. These people were threatened. The leaders there felt threatened by the disciples. Not because, again, because they were making threats or trying to intimidate them, but they were felt threatened because they had no power over them. And all through the Bible, whenever there was a persecution, and all through history, that is what brought the persecution on. That is what brought the church under fire. And that's what brings Christians under fire. When we have no fear, that puts a fear into those in authority. We think of Paul whenever the Jews had him and they were tearing him apart And they called for the soldiers. The soldiers heard what was going on, and they were ready to kill Paul. The soldiers came, and they bound him up, thinking he was some criminal. And they was getting ready to whip him. And the man, they put him in thongs. Some kind of, I'd say something like a handcuff, but sounds pretty uncomfortable. And they were getting ready to scourge him to find out the truth of the matter. And Paul said, "Can you do this to a Roman who's uncondemned?" What happened? The leaders got afraid. They were the ones who got afraid. Instead of Paul, he was the one tied up. Whenever Paul and Silas was in the prison, and they began to sing, and were let out, and the earthquake happened, and they were set free. The jailer came in. Who was afraid? It was the jailer. Whenever God's people are close enough to God and can look out into eternity and not be intimidated by people who are in authority. Not be intimidated by people who are trying to rule them. The people recognize that they have no power over them. And that puts them in fear. And that's when the church gets in trouble. And that's when the church should be, that's when the light is shining in the church. That's when we're the salt of the earth. I just think of, well, it's just such a blessing. And I realize the man has fallen away. There was a man in Mexico, young man. He was a little like the piece of wheat that fell among thorns. He allowed his wife and concerns of this world to choke out the word of God. But there for a while, the seeds were planted, and he was a very, he had no fear. He went to, he was preaching, and going out with the brethren, and had an opportunity and was invited back up into the mountains, into places where in Mexico there's people up in the mountains that it's very, they just don't let anyone come in there. There's mountain after mountain. You fly out of Mexico City and you get flying north and just mountain after mountain, and you can see up on top of each mountain just every little bit. There's another little village, just thousands of them. And there, people aren't welcome up there. Strangers aren't welcome up there. But he had happened to get invited up there by someone. And he got up there and got to speaking. And then he got invited to another village. And he went to another village. And he started preaching at one of the fiestas that they had up there. And the people began to get upset because he was preaching there to these others. And they got, the whole town got all stirred up about him preaching. And the police came and they took him away from the group to protect him. And they told him, "You need to quit preaching, or I'm going to throw you in jail." Well, the man said, well, I'd just be tickled to death for you to be able to have the honor of being thrown in your jail. Well, that didn't work. He thought he had caused him to fear the threat of jail, but it didn't. And he said, well, if you don't quit preaching, I'm just going to turn you out and let this mob have you. And he said, it would be a great pleasure to me to die for the Lord at the hands of this mob. And they told that to the whole group. And they began to listen to him because it scared them. The Bible says that whenever the Lord is with one, one will chase 1,000 and five will chase 10,000. Or something like that? Why is that? People are scared of people who aren't full of fear. Who aren't intimidated by fear. One of the early apostles, one of the disciples, I think, I'm not sure it was, They brought him before the council and they threatened him with jail, and he gave the same response as this young man in Mexico did just a few years ago. And so they said, well, we'll throw you to the beast. And the man said, throw me to the beast. I'll be glad to go. I'll just get to go to heaven that much quicker. He said, well, we'll burn you with fire. He said, I'm not afraid of your fire. You should be afraid of the fire that burns for eternity. You can burn me for a little while, but I die and I'll go to be with God. And they made several other threats to him, and he wasn't afraid of the threats. And one of them came along and said, the only thing he fears is sin. You get him to sin, and then you'll conquer him. But they couldn't even do that. He didn't have a thing to fear in this world. He feared God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Whenever we fear God, God gives us a sound mind. There's nothing in this world to fear. And we ought to encourage ourselves, and we ought to seek the Lord, and we ought to surrender ourselves. Remember, stir up our minds. Where are we headed? What choice have I made in life? And what's that choice about? I've chosen to lose my life to follow Jesus. There's nothing this world can do to me that God doesn't allow. I've chosen to serve my Lord, and whatever this world has to offer or to dish out means nothing. I want them to be the one that has to worry about what they're going to do with me, not what I'm going to do with them. Whenever that we have that courage, that boldness to follow the Lord. In Acts chapter 4, chapter 4, verse 31. Well, let's begin up here. Verse 26, the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed with both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. They were all against him. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. People talk about a lot of things that happen and a lot of miracles they might be performing. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Right there. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word of God with boldness. They didn't have a spirit of fear. They had the truth. They had the truth. There wasn't nothing else. Whenever we have the truth, there's nothing to fear. We need to know that. We need to remember that. The whole world is against the Lord. One man told me one time that one man and God is a majority. You can count all the heads you want, but one man and God is the majority. I've been blessed with that. Remembered it many times. I've heard that, heard him tell of this man whenever he 20 years ago he told me that, but there was telling about a man who could walk right into the middle of any crowd, have no fear, because he knew that him and God were the majority, no matter how big the crowd. And that's been a blessing to me. Today it seems that there's just things are changing fast. Just seems like hardly anyone wants to listen. And there's no telling what's going to happen. With the government changing the way it is and the rules maybe begin to change quicker than we can imagine, we may find ourselves in a completely different world than what we've known, as far as the freedoms we've known. It's been pretty effective, this manner. It seems like there's more people been destroyed in this freedom than there ever was. The gospel has suffered more harm under freedom than it does under persecution. But that doesn't mean there won't ever be no persecution either. But there's no need to fear either. If we have the fear of the Lord and sound mind and love, may we remember that, seek that. Not that we don't ever last week, one of the boys, whenever we were giving their Bible verses, and I made them turn around and look everybody in the eye, one of them said, "My knees are shaking." That doesn't matter. That's not the fear I'm talking about. The fear is when your knees are shaking and you get intimidated by it. Then you're under someone else's power. But when your knees are shaking and you do what's right because it's the truth, then someone else's knees start shaking. That's whenever somebody else's knees start shaking. It's not that you won't feel fear, or that you won't be tempted. There's one, I don't remember, it's John Wesley, I think, that was riding with someone, and they were going into this village to preach, and they were talking about fear, and one of them said that his knees were shaking, and he looked at the other one and he said, "My knees are shaking." But he said, "If my knees were they knew where we were going, my whole body would be shaking. If they knew what we were going, if I was what I was going to do, then my whole body should be trembling." So it wasn't because they weren't scared. It was because they had no fear. There's nothing wrong with being scared. It's whenever we have fear and we let that fear intimidate us that we become, that's when we're whipped. That's when we don't know what to do with them. That's when we're the one that's allowed fear to conquer us. But whenever we conquer fear and can stand on the truth and walk in it, then that's when people don't know what to do with us. And they have to deal with their fear. May the Lord add His blessings. Father, we thank You for Your goodness, Lord, and we just ask, God, that You would help us, Father, as we present the threatenings that are about us, like the apostles did, our brethren. Behold, Lord, their threatenings, and grant to Thy servants that we might speak Thy word with boldness, Father. Help us not only speak, but to live Your word and to live Your truth, Father, that there be no grounds for fear in our lives, Lord. Again, we just thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.